Good morning, Roundup. My name is Robbie, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Robbie.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for showing up. I made 150 programs because that's the way I do things. I believe if you make it, they will come, right? So if you're sitting where there isn't a program or there isn't a big book pledge, please move up just a little bit or grab one from a chair that I have set up because we are ready for everybody. So just a little bit about me and what we're going to be doing this morning, okay? So you can follow me on your program's number, Roman numeral number one, introduction, about your big book drill instructor, your big book boot camp drill instructor. Now, the reason I say that, I don't have to stand behind that. The reason I say that is because, you know, I just think this is exciting. I've gone to workshops since I've gotten sober. My sobriety date's October 31st of 1983. And for that, I'm eternally grateful on that. I got sober when I was 22 years old, and I'm 58. And the reality of all that is that I love sobriety from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head, from the side of my body to this side, from the front to the absolute back. You know, every ounce, every fiber in my body, I love Alcoholics Anonymous. And so that is who I am. You got my sobriety. My home group is the primary purpose group of Alcoholics Anonymous. We meet in Wildwood, New Jersey, which is southern New Jersey, which is the Jersey Shore. We're at exit 4 on the Garden State Parkway. If you're ever in New Jersey, you know, you're from exits, and then you know what I'm talking about. So if you're ever in southern New Jersey, come see me. We have 27 meetings a week at our clubhouse, and it's, you know why? Because that's how I drink. You know, I drank in everywhere. I didn't just drink Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Come to my home group. We'll have the coffee on. That's not, it's wonderful. Okay, but for me, like, I gotta know that I need people. I need a big tribe to corral me in. I'm like a cat, you know, to corral me into some type of a semblance. So that's my home group. My sponsor is a guy named Johnny H., and he's got 35, he's got 47 years of sobriety. He's a great man. He's in my life. He goes to conventions with me, the cool ones. You know, if I'm going to United States, Virgin Islands, he's all in. Yeah, St. Thomas. Where are you going? Hoboken. Okay, good. Have a good time. You know? But he and I have a good chance. We are very connected, and I do have a personal one-on-one relationship with my sponsor. And I hope you have one with yours. I have a spiritual advisor named Dr. Bob W. from Dover, Delaware, who's actually an amazing man. And I have a hair sponsor. He's a black, bald guy from Baltimore, Maryland, named Arnold Ross. That's pretty funny. He calls me his hair sponsor somehow. That's all. Absolutely love sobriety. I'm a father of a 20-year-old who is in college right now, who stays with me all summer at my shore house. Her name is Allison Ann Walker. I love her from just every fiber. Just love her. And I'm divorced, but I get along well with her mother because of these principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. I pay her. And, alimony. It's all good, man. And, we follow the principles. That's one of the steps, right, Damon? My vocation is I have a car business. I'm an automobile dealer and do the commercials and all that fun stuff and they always like when I go away. They love when I go to my conventions. They love it. So hopefully we're making money right now. But I'm grateful. I have my cards. You know, so not to buy a car because I'm sure you guys aren't going to come to New Jersey and buy a car. But I have my business cards up here, and that's primarily just to become a new friend, become a Facebook friend, just become a friend. And I got a couple frogs up here. And the reason I keep my frogs around, especially when I do workshops, is frog stands for fully relying on God. What? So frog, fully relying on God. I cannot fully rely on myself. Because if and when I do, things go down and they go down quick. I had self-sufficiency all my life. And today, step 10 teaches me God's sufficiency. You know, today I got that vital sixth sense, you know, and it's a God awareness, you know. And without that, I am nothing. Like, I'm up here and I stand on the shoulders of giants when I stand in front of you people. You know, I'm not narcissistic. A narcissistic person believes that they are more than what they are. Let me tell you something. I have to work daily just to feel as though I'm worthy for what I do in life. You know, I appreciate to have a bed to sleep in. I appreciate to have a full-time job. You know, I appreciate the fact that my daughter still loves daddy. You know, I appreciate the fact that I have friends and sponsees and, you know, all over. You know, Don, you know, Terry, new friend. What? These guys over here. I'm from Jersey and we get tight. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're one of the guys now. That's a good thing. I'm an author. So I authored a book called The Sponsorship Guide. And what this is just, if you're a sponsor, or somebody says, will you be my sponsor? Will you take me through the steps? I wrote a book, like for the last 30 years, I've been on planes and going to conventions and conferences and traveling, and I kept on writing out of the big book, what's the best way to take the steps? And I put it into a book, so I became an author. I usually use them for my retreats. I have a few here this weekend if you want my great team. Not that important. What is important is that I'm a child of God. My pastor recently said, you know, when people ask you, tell us who you are in 10 seconds. He said, try to tell them you're a child of God. Just shut up after that. Hey, how you doing? Tell me a little bit. I'm a child of God. And just shut up and watch them turn like three colors. Blessed and highly, how you doing? Blessed and highly favored. How are you? Why not? I'm PMA. I'm positive mental attitude all the time since I've gotten sober. Because I'm a suicide survivor. Okay, I've been there and done that. You know, I'm 22 years old when I got sober, and mom and dad used to get the calls all the time, whether it's from a mental hospital or a jail for me or whatever. And they always thought it was going to be from the morgue. And through the grace of God, I got a new way of life. The big book says I have been reborn. I've been reborn. And I'm not afraid. Some of my new friends know. Your wife is so cute. Becky's been so nice. You know, she told me this. You know, some people just say things to you that just light you up, and they don't know. See, I'm not impressed with your sarcasm. No offense. And that's great if you're sarcastic. It's not a joke. I'm not impressed with your sarcasm. I'm not impressed with anybody trying to cut, trying to make fun. And I know you don't mean it from coming from a bad place. But the reality of it is, I'm impressed if you're an encourager. I'm impressed if you're able to come up to an AA member and say, hey, it's good. Oh, I love your dress. You look wonderful today. Yo, dude, great. Go for it, man. Good to see you again. You guys look great as a couple. You know, hey, brother, thanks for sharing that morning meeting. Really appreciate what you said. Terry, thank you for being you yesterday. Thank you for picking up the airport. You know, if we can take time to love each other, you know, and to embody it. You know, I don't come from a place where, you say something about me that cuts me down. Let me say something that's a little bit coarser to cut you down. I don't play that game. I don't understand that game. Sometimes I'm with people a little bit less time and they start getting more sarcastic. And I say, I don't understand what you're saying. See, because if they do it with somebody with less time, they get all upset and call it. And they do it with me, I'll put you right in your place. I have no problem with that. I have no problem standing, with confidence and being a man. You know, we women, I love when you say you women are women of dignity and grace. Well, I'm a man of honor and valor, you know. And there was times, where people called me names when I was sleeping on the streets. And maybe rightly so. And there was times where people threw me out of their cars when I was sleeping in their cars and called me names and spit on me. That was then. This is now. Now I got a new way of life. Now I got a new higher power. You know what I mean? You know, I got told that when you're with God, you're in the majority, baby. You know, you don't have to worry about being in a minority opinion anymore. So that's who I am. I'm a member of my church. I'm a very, very active member of my church, and I do some stuff there. And I'm working on a master's degree in divinity. But that's just to say, I say that not to say, just to say, go God. Because God still puts that in my heart to be an active member of life. And not to say, well, because I could have said, I could have let off visit and try to, I'm a three-time convicted felon. I took a withdrawal from the bank without a withdrawal slip. That's true. But it's not who I am. That's who I was. I told you guys and you men and women today who I am because I gave myself to this program and this word this other book talks about wholeheartedly. My whole heart's here. Mother Teresa says, be nice and be kind to people. And they may make fun of you and they may take advantage of you. And she says, let them. You know, let them. Because it was never about you, you and them anyway. It's always about, you know, my relationship with that guy upstairs. So that's who I am. You guys got a feel for who I am. That's who I am. Hopefully tonight you'll find out a little bit more about my story. But today, so number two, it says why, what to expect during today's big book boot camp. So obviously you're going to have some enthusiasm here. It's just who I am. It's not going to be your normal, your workshop where a guy sits up here and says, turn the page, XIII. There it says, this is our basic text. You got to have a textbook if you're going to college. Now, that's fine. Good for you. You know, but if I'm at a convention and I'm at one of those deals, I'm already out. I'm going to pool. It says in the doctor's opinion, we drink, right? We drink because we like the effect produced by alcohol, right? Well, I need an effect here in Alcoholics Anonymous. If I'm here and I'm at an AA workshop, man, give me some effect, baby. I'm a guy that drank and drugged and jumped off of places and stole cars and threw beers out and listened to the Eagles, Life in the Fast Lane. Woo, 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 yeah! That sounds great. That's funny. I said that at an Al-Anon convention recently. They were like, One lady turned to the next lady in the front row and said, I told you we went like a Martha. So what to expect of that? We're going to hear a little bit of songs. Keep an open mind. We're going to hear some songs. And the song, hi, Katie, welcome back. We're going to hear some songs. You're going to hear some songs. Just open your mind up. When I write this on my deck, I have a little short house, a little race rancher, and I have a deck that's just God's deck. And when I do my writing, I envision what we're going to do here during this hour and a half or however long we're here. And these songs come to mind. I put them on there, and we just see where it goes. All right? So, okay. So now it says, opening of our Altoona Roundup Big Book Boot Camp. So when we start something like this, right, the big thing is that we get excited. If you remember Rocky, remember, like, he was an underdog, wasn't he? So when we get in early sobriety, we're an underdog, right? We've got, 17 days? What's your name? And when we're about 17 days like COVID, we feel low. We feel as though we can't do this. We're not really sure. But then we have sponsors and we have friends, right? And they come to us and they give us love, right? And they give us support and they give us encouragement. And we need that. Sometimes we go and we sit in the corner and we're there. And I just got beat up by this guy or this woman or whatever. I sit in the corner. And my sponsor and my cop man is talking to me like Angelo Dundee, that guy right on the movie. And he's saying, Robbie, he says, get back out there. He says, don't quit. Don't quit before it's going to get funny. Don't quit just before you lost your job. You know, don't quit just because, you know, you don't think you're worthy. Stay with the fight. You know, ding, ding, ding. And the bell goes back off and I get back out there again. And the big thing is, guess what? I didn't drink. Now, under any and all circumstances. So it says in the beginning, it says, we agreed to go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Any lengths. That doesn't, and that means you get your little feelings hurt, put your little feelings in the cup and get off me. Cut it out. That chapter doesn't say into feelings. It says into what?
Action!
That's right, that's what our big book says. Don't get me wrong, talk about your feelings with your sponsor, get it out. Hey, Amanda, I just want to let you know that Bedhead Henry today said my dress was ugly. Oh, sorry to hear that. You know, but you know, and just go to a meeting tonight, honey. You're going to be okay, right? All right, so we're ready. So, big book boot camp definition. So why don't I call this a boot camp? So allow me to explain. Boot camp is basic training. It gets the soldier prepared for war, right? It arms the soldier with training which will ready him or her for the worst that could happen. Preparation to be on the front lines. We're on the front lines, baby. Chloe, we're on the front lines. This is the front lines of recovery. We get a chance to meet alcoholics that come into our doors, right? They come in there. And we're so blessed. They just come to us. And our job is to keep our eyes open for that. I think the Rolling Stones said that person with the far away eyes, right? Look for that person that is just hurting. Look for that person that, especially the person that sits in the back and doesn't want to talk. I remember when I was new and I got sober in Jersey and I was new and the guy wanted to hug me. I said, no, thank you. Thank you. Just got out of jail. You know, the big thing in Jersey when you got newly sober was to go to a diner. Oh, I bet you're going to drink caffeinated coffee too. Woo! Please. You know, stop with your coffee. Stop with your stupid diners. Okay, with Jersey, that's a diner. That's a recovery thing. You know, I'm just here to stay out of prison. I'm here to stay away from Bubba Jose and Spider, Ellen. You know what I mean? Straight up, I'm not here for any spiritual. No, Don, I don't want to hear about your God. I already got told about you. You're going to tell me God. I just want to stay out of jail. Do you guys have a sufficient substitute for me? 151 of the big book. The answer is a resounding yes, we do have a substitute. And here's the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. Here, you know, your imagination will be fired. Here, care, worry, and boredom will be gone. You'll make a host of friends. Raise your hand. Who's got great friends in Alcoholics Anonymous? So if you're listening to this CD, Don's got both hands. Everybody raise their hands. And that's great, man. Yeah, thank you. And so that's what we have here. We got a big deal here. So boot camp. Boot camp is a preparation to be on the front lines. Our boot camp today will prepare you to be a true spiritual warrior, full of courage, conviction, and ready for action. So you may be asking yourself, right, are you ready to become, what is spiritual warfare? Well, ready for this? You want to know what spiritual warfare is to me? So this might be terms you haven't heard from before. I like to bring up different stuff. You know, I know what it says in the first step, you know, in the 12 and 12. Alcohol bleeds us of all will to resist its demands. No other kind of bankruptcy is like this one. I know what it says here. But I'm going to bring some different terms. I'm going to come in a different way. You ever tell your sponsor you got a problem? With me, it's always with women. I'm just saying. And I, yo, sponsor, let me tell you what's going on with Trish, you know. And after I tell him, you know, what her issues are. And he always says this horrible thing, and it's something the sponsorship always says. Hey, Robbie, let's look at it from a different angle. I hate that. I don't want to look at it from your stupid angle. I like my angle. Anyway, so I'm going to try to get everybody to look at this big book today. I hope you got your big book here. I got mine here. It's worked on. It's written in. It's got tabs. It's got stuff you can't even read. It's like a journal, right? But what we're going to do, spiritual warfare, joining together with like-minded individuals like we're doing here today to weaken our craving to alcohol, right, as we strengthen our resolve to become a spiritual warrior, carrying out our higher power's high mission to help others. Now, everybody grab their big book pledge. Everybody got a big book pledge in front of them? It's called the Big Book Pledge. Raise your hand if you don't have one. So everybody got their big book pledge? You got it, Katie? You got it, Hella? You got yours? All right. Everybody got their big book pledge? All right, so what we're going to do is I'm going to read this first. Get your big book if you have your big book, because you might want to put that in your hand because we're going to really do this right. See, alcohol, let me just share something with you. Alcohol knows what's going on right now. The lower power knows what's going on. I know the lower power and all his whatever cronies aren't too happy with Robbie W. right now at the Altoona Roundup, you know, talking about all these amazing things that we're going to talk about. You know, they'd rather us be alone right now, out at the pool by ourselves, thinking about our bills and thinking about our horrible relationships and thinking about the job that stinks. But instead, we're here together. You ready? Big book pledge. Now repeat after me. This is my big book. I will find out what is in it.
I will find out what is in it.
And then do what it tells me to do.
And then do what it tells me to do.
Book in hand.
Book in hand.
properly armed with the facts about myself, I will go out from here as a recovery soldier.
I will go out from here as a recovery soldier.
To carry this message to others. I will not hesitate to visit the most sordid places on the face of earth. With this message of hope. I will endeavor to become a spiritual warrior. Full of courage. And conviction. As I stay on the firing line of life. With these motives. I will fully rely on the God of my understanding.
I will fully rely on the God of my understanding.
As I take the 12 steps of AA. In a clear and precise manner in my big book. I will get free of myself and go to any lens for victory over alcohol. I will join hand in hand with my fellow AA brothers and sisters. As we enthusiastically carry the message of AA to all who seek it. Just for today, I will not be embarrassed to carry my big book.
I will not be embarrassed to carry my big book
into the darkest of caverns, where my fellow alcoholics may be hiding.
I will be a seeker.
I will march calmly. Yet confidently, into the sunlight of the Spirit, as I become a true child of God. And we end. Walk in front of me.
Walk
beside me. Or walk behind me. Just realize this. That
regardless of what you do,
I will continue to march confidently,
trudging the road of happy destiny.
Today I will be a God seeker.
And not a self seeker.
Today I pledge to give everything I have to carry this message of Alcoholics Anonymous to all that will listen. Yes, this is my big book.
Yes, this is my big book.
I will hold it high.
I will hold it high.
And I will share its time-trusted truths.
I will share its time-trusted truths.
With my fellows.
With my fellows.
I am a big book warrior.
I am a big book warrior.
Woo! Good job, everybody. So that's our big book pledge, just to tell you how much I love this big book. So let me tell you something. We talked about this morning, me and Don. So God's not embarrassed about you. So don't be embarrassed about him. I'm not going to apologize for saying that word. I'm not going to apologize for saying what's in the steps. I'm not going to apologize for talking about that through our big book constantly. So members used to write to Bill Wilson and say, hey, Bill, not really into this Lord's Prayer, this Judeo-Christian prayer they say at their all these meetings. And Bill Wilson's answer was reminiscent of what he would really want to pass on. And he said, yeah, it has really seemed to take over AA. I don't see really any problem with it. It says some really good things that we do. In fact, maybe what I would recommend you do is just have patience and tolerance and love, as they say the prayer. Bill was, that's, by the way, that's at the Wilson House in East Dorset, Vermont, that letter. You know, I'm a past delegate in my area. That means that in 1997, my area in Southern New Jersey, Area 44, Southern New Jersey, I was like, I was 36 years old, and I was on the board with this strong woman named Stella. And it was me and Stella. Stella had all her women there. I knew I was done. And I knew I had no chance to be delegate. I didn't care. Even though I was alternate delegate, I just didn't think I was going to get it because she had a lot of. And I had God, and all I did was stick in long enough where she couldn't get 2/3. And then that's 2/3 of the vote. It's called third legacy, okay, hell. But anyway, they pulled my name out of the hat. to become delicate. God, is it odd or is it God? I got to go to New York and act like a delegate and have ties on and stuff. And I thought that, like, man, they don't know who they elected as delegate, you know? And I'm the guy who's asleep on the streets, you know? So I served my area as delegate. I've learned about the steps, traditions, and the concepts. Had a really great time doing a lot of neat stuff. Got involved in our conventions in the state of New Jersey and our roundups. Got involved in my intergroup and a chair of intergroup. And I started a roundup, and that's still going good today. I'm their Friday night speaker in November. They got me the old head to come back, the chairman emeritus, and that's pretty exciting. I'm known for sobriety countdowns. I did a sobriety countdown in a lot of different areas. I just love to do that because I have a little bit of excitement. I don't know what that's about, but I do. So if you have, by the way, if you have that fire, anybody know who Marianne Williamson is? I know a lot of you women do. Oh, you don't. Well, Marianne Williamson, she's actually running for president, but Marianne Williamson is so awesome, and she says this thing. She says, shine bright. Don't ever dim your light so other people will feel comfortable around you. She says, shine bright. And what that does is that gives other people their permission to shine bright along with you. See, I've learned how to latch on to people in my area of Alcoholics Anonymous that aren't afraid to be themselves. That aren't afraid to be themselves and to let their heart shine. You know, we make mistakes. You know, I know if you put your heart out there like I do, some people might try to get it. And, you know, I got some of those people in my area that don't like me too much. It's okay. Be yourself. The rest of the world will adjust. Don't ever try to be somebody else. You know, if people don't get you, they're not your people. Be yourself. Find your tribe. They're out there. I love our women in New Jersey. They're always together. Our men, you know, we have our stogies and we play cards, whatever. You know, it's all good. You know, go to our games, you know. But stay together. Stay in the tribe. Stay with us. So... okay. Oh, my first story. So I got a great story. This is crazy. So I like to do stories because I think stories tell something about something. And this is called Are You Facing Your Giants? You may recognize the story. I've changed the names to protect the innocents. This is called Facing Your Giants. The fierce army had gathered for war against God's army of faithful servants. The two armies faced each other, camped for battle on opposite sides of the steep valley. A fierce giant, measuring over 9 feet tall and wearing full armor, came out each day for 40 days, mocking and challenging God's kids to fight. His name was Alcohol. The king of God's army and the whole army, all of God's army, were completely terrified of Alcohol. One day, one of God's kids was sent to the battle lines by his sponsor to bring back news of his brothers, how they were doing. So, his name is Annie Lentz Leonard. Annie Lentz Leonard was just a young teenager at the time. While there, Leonard heard King Alcohol shouting his daily defiance. And he would say, "Who amongst you dares to go against me, John Barleycorn? God's army! You all look and act like a bunch of scared kids out there! Come on! Are you all cowards? Who wants to die?" And he would say this every day, right? One day, Annie Lentz Leonard volunteered to fight the giant. It took some persuasion, but finally, the leader of God's army said, "You know what? If you think you can do it, go for it." Dressed in his little simple tunic, carrying his little shepherd's staff, sling, and a pouch full of stones, Annie Lentz Leonard approached John Barleycorn, the giant, right? The giant cursed at him, hurling threats and insults. He says, "Oh, look at this. You know, you sent one of your weak, beaten," and he says, "Oh, wait a minute, I don't know what he said." So here's what Leonard said. Forgive me, let's go back. So as he was shouting that, Leonard said,
Eddie Lenz Leonard said for Vivian.
He says, you know, we were once weak, beaten, and battered by the storms of alcoholism. But today we must remember, you know, that we are bound together, you know, by God's army. You know, we're led by our higher power. Today I draw on that collective strength that we receive from our army. I'm ready for you, giant. Right? So, anyway, what happens is all of a sudden John Barleycorn moved in for the kill. Right? He went to kill. He's a little guy. Come on, like us. We're just, you know, we're new at recovery. We don't got, you know, but if we got God, we got everything, right? So all of a sudden, Len reached into his bag and slung one of his stones at John Barleycorn's head. It found a hole in the armor and sank into the giant's forehead. He fell to the ground. John then took, Then Len finally took the sword and cut his head off. Okay? All of a sudden, the rest of the enemy's army fled. See, once we stand up to the bully, once we stand up and say, hey, listen, I just don't drink anymore. I just don't do those drugs anymore. No, thank you. You know, we just stand up to the bully, right? What do we learn from this? So number one, Len had faith in God. It caused him to look at the giant from a different perspective. John was a fierce, mighty man, defying an all-powerful God. Len looked at the battle from God's point of view, and here's what it was. If we look at our giant problems and impossible situations from God's perspective, we realize that God will fight with us and through us. When we put things in proper perspective, we see more clearly and we can fight more effectively. You know? But see, the reality of it was that Len chose not to wear all this armor that most, you know, warriors wear. If he felt cumbersome and unfamiliar. See, and here's the moral there. God will use the unique skills that he's already placed in your hands. So don't worry about wearing big armor and all that stuff. Just be yourself and use the familiar gifts and talents that God gives you. And guess what? He will perform miracles in and through you. I had a guy in a meeting the other night. I can't take credit for this. He had like, I don't know, he had like Chloe's time. He had like 3 weeks of sobriety or something. And all of a sudden he's like, I'm so stoked, man. He says, we're like superheroes, man. We can save people. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to use that this weekend. He had no idea what I was saying, but I gave him that money. But I was like, I want to use that. And we're like superheroes, man. We get to save people's lives. Is that great? Yeah, right? Right? That's crazy, right, Thomas? I love that. So that's our first story. So the big book boot camp begins. Get your big books out. Highlighters ready. This is number 5. Let's prepare for battle, soldiers. Remember, I love engaging with people. So, and you're going to find that out. You know, we've got a half hour in. You've been engaged already. I believe engaged. I don't believe. I've gone to some of these deals and you got two gurus up here. No offense if you're one of them. But I got two gurus up here and they say, they just talk the whole time. This is how you do it. This is how we do it. And listen to me. And look, woo! Woo! Not impressed. I'm going to the pool. Anyway, but listen. You know, we're a team here. You know, we were at the meeting early this morning and we talked about, you never know who you're going to learn from. You just don't. Whether it's the person with 17 days, the person with 17 years, the person with 3 decades, and the person that has the big book all marked up, or the person who just says, I need help. We don't know who we're going to learn from. We just got to, you know, we got to stop, drop, and listen. We got to become awake here. You know, there's people in Alcoholics Anonymous that aren't awake. Now listen. I tend to wake them up. Sorry about that. I did that once. That was great. I did that in a recent big dog boot camp. And there was a dog in the front row that jumped 5 feet in the air. It was the best part of the whole convention. I baggled something. That daggone dog jumped straight up. I felt so bad. I did. But I awakened the dog at least. So, are you guys ready to march?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let's do it again. Are you guys ready to march?
Yeah.
All right. That's what I want to talk about. You can tell I got a little coaching in my background. So now we're going to go to the big book. And now we're going to have fun. We're going to open your big books if you got your big book. We're going to start way at X1. Now, here's the deal. I don't know how far we're going to go. I'm ready to go through all 12 steps this morning. I kind of got that outline. I don't think we're going to be able to do that because I'm pretty talkative. Okay? Like that was a half hour of introduction. Like, forget about it, right? But you know what? Here's what I look at, guys.
ladies and gentlemen of the Altoona Roundup, we're going to go through what we're supposed to go through here this morning. I guess there's probably somewhere in the vicinity of 60 or 70 people in this room or thereabouts. I could have said 600 because I'm on CD, but on this program. But I was ready for 150. Hey, who knows? This thing, if we did it from beginning to end, it would probably take 3 hours. Well, let's try to do it in an hour and a half. So we started at 10. Let's try to get done at 11:30. Does that sound right? 11:30? Okay. Yeah, just whatever. Okay.
And you don't know, Damon. I say to the taper, how much time does he need? He said, I got 17 hours. Or 1,700 hours.
And everybody, thank you, Damon, for taping this event.
Yeah.
Page XI. So on page XI, basic text. So it says, because this book has become the basic text for our society. By the way, does anybody need a pen or a highlighter? Raise your hand. I got them up here. Oh, look, in the back row, Blondie, how you doing? I got you covered.
How you doing?
How you doing over there? You all right? Atta girl. So look what I got. I got them. I got them in my pouch here. Hi, thank you so much, Toby. Toby, just pass these out if anybody needs a pen or a highlighter. Just pass them out. If I get them, I'm used to doing things in Jersey. Usually I don't get them back. Don't worry about it. Because this book has become the basic text for our society and has helped such large numbers. So the big thing, this is our basic text. So if you're in a college class right now, you know, anybody taking college studies other than me, raise your hand. Okay. So you got textbooks, right, Amanda? And you got to have them because, the professor says, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that. You got to go to a textbook and get your research, right? So this is our I hope you got your own big book. I hope when you go to a big book meeting that you're not afraid to bring it. You know, there's a lot of times I get a chance to speak at like home group anniversaries. Thank you, dear. Great job. I get a chance to speak at a local home group anniversaries and I'm walking through neighborhoods with this. You know, I guess you can't really tell what it is, but still, I think you can. You know, it's something about God, right? Look at all that stuff. But, you know, I hope you got your big book. This is our basic text. This is what we're going to get. This is what we need in our life. You know, I don't know what it is about this book or why it's a bestseller like the Bible. I think the Bible is the only thing that outsells it. But there's something going on here. Bill Wilson was termed the social architect of the 20th century. Is that amazing? Like just one man. You know, and it's not about Bill. Bill, many times when an AA member would write into the General Service Office and say, hey, Bill, I don't like the fact that you did this or you said that or you're doing this. And he said, please, please, please don't put me on a pedestal. Please, I am just as human and fallible as everybody else. I was just blessed enough to be with a proctologist and we decided to somehow start this program. You know, please don't put me on a pedestal. So make sure you have a basic text. Make sure you have your book. Let's go to forward to the first edition. We're going to talk one thing about that. And guess what? That's on page XIII. And it says, to show other alcoholics precisely how we have to cover is the main purpose of this book. Before that, it says, we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who are recovered from a what?
Seemingly hopeless state of mind and body.
First word, seemingly. Does anybody know what seemingly means? Seemingly means this. Outwardly evident, but not true. Everybody hear that? Outwardly evident, but not true. We suffer from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. If you see any alcoholic that's new in AA, they will tell you, I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm in trouble. I'm getting kicked out. I'm going to jail. I got court dates. I got nowhere to stay. I got nothing to eat. Most times, right? Seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. So it's evident, but it's not really true. Because the reality of it is, if you get with us, you know, there's millions of alcoholics that had this hopeless state of mind and body. And today, we live in utopia. I know I do. I was looking forward to this weekend for a long time. I do a lot of this, but I was still looking forward to this weekend. You know, and I was looking forward to this meeting. I couldn't even sleep last night. It's 1 o'clock. I can't fucking get up. I'm like, crap. 2:30. Crap. 3:15. Crap. I want to come down here. I came. So no one was in here this morning by 8 o'clock, and I'm putting all the things out. And me, I got a picture of me and God. There was nobody in here. And I was doing his work. Are you doing His work? What are you doing when no one's watching? Measure of character is, are you helping people that can't do anything for you? Are you being nice to people? Who are you? Everybody in this room, let's make a pact. Let's all compliment three people. You know, you might do this on your own without me, but can I ask you, let's all make a pact. Let's all compliment three people today after this meeting. Okay? Between now and the speaker. And it doesn't count if you say good talk tonight. Okay? That doesn't count. I compliment three people that you don't know. Okay? And if we get in that habit, man, you know, the world changes by us. We make the difference. Oh, well, as president, stop it. What are you doing? What can you control? You can go to the polls and great and vote for who you want, but then once that's handled, you're stop it. So there's three types of people. So for some people they're like chickens. And they eat off the grid. They're like chickens. You know what they are? They're complainers. Okay? And then there's some people, Ella, like crows. And you know what they are? They're the critics. It says in the big book, we're not supposed to be critics. I don't know why I brought up the Al-Anon speaker. I was only kidding. No, but they're the critics. The crows are the critics. And then there is the eagles that soar above everything. And that's what we're supposed to be. Not complaining. Not critics. Not sarcastic, witty people. Stop it! You know, but how about encouragers? How about bringing love into everything you do? How about loving your enemies? Oh, sorry, that was a tough one. That's like calculus. But try it. But try it. I know it's not, you know, simple arithmetic, but try it. And all of a sudden, you'll start realizing that you're not condoning that person's behavior that just made fun of you or that said something behind your back and you know it. You're being friendly with them, and that can relieve yourself of that resentment. And most times it bothers them. Boom.
I love it. Now, I know there's certain people in my home area that aren't Robbie W. fans. I can't help it. I come in dressed nice from work. You know, it's just recovery, right? I know. I'm usually happy to get a fist pump. All my guys. I know. I just watch people. Certain people like, oh God, here he is. Their eyes cross almost, and I go out of my way to go up and say, hey, Joey, good to see you, brother. And they're like, ugh. So don't give them silent scorn. They win. Say hi to them. Love them anyway. There's a great Christian song. Love them anyway. Just love them anyway. And I'm telling you what. Really, it bothers them. If that helps you at all. It's helped me immensely. I don't play their game. Let's go to the fourth and the second edition. Page XV. So we're up to XV. We're really kicking it. XV. I get a kick out of myself sometimes. Right? All right. I love this. By the way, taper. I love this. Imagine me standing up there. I'd be like, dying. Okay. So XV. It says on XV, this is powerful. Listen up. It gives us the definition of recovered. And I went out of my way to look up the definition of recovery. Because alcoholics might say a lot of cute stuff. Let me tell you the truth. So recovered alcoholics. Recovered means to bring back to a normal condition. Because it says in here that it says there's 150,000 recovered alcoholics in Alcoholics Anonymous. This was back in 1955. Recovered means bring back to normal condition, restore to usefulness. That makes sense. You've recovered from the flu, Amanda, right? And so all of a sudden, when you go back to work, you say, how are you doing with the flu? I've recovered. I'm back to eating, drinking. I'm done sneezing and, you know, a little bit of sniffles, but I'm, for the most part, I'm not contagious anymore. The whatever that is, they give you, what is it called? Antihistamine, you know, got rid of it, blah, blah, antibiotics, got rid of it, right? So I've recovered. That's great. That's all that means. So if you recovered from, I recovered from robbing banks. I recovered from stealing cars. You know, I recovered from being nasty to my parents. I recovered from being a selfless,
self-centered. Okay? And today I've learned how to, you know, to be selfless. To think about your feelings before I make that joke. To have compassion and empathy. I mean, am I that way all the time? No, we're all human. We all fall short. But we have, Bill Wilson always said this neat thing, the 12 steps are perfect ideals, is what he called them. Doesn't mean we're going to work them perfectly, but by golly, you better have an ideal. You know, when I play darts with my guys, you know, and you shoot for the cork, you don't try to shoot over there, you shoot for the cork! Shoot for the middle, you might not hit it, but get close, by golly. Try for perfection. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. And at least if you miss a little bit, maybe at least you're still at a meeting. You know what I mean? Okay, you're not talking to that. You haven't talked to that lady for 3 weeks, but you haven't shot her in the head. If you have a good sponsor, they'll say, good job. What's your first name? Pat, thank you for not shooting her in the head. Good job. You're getting better. Now, so you heard the definition of recovered, right? Let's talk about recovering. This is very, very interesting. Because a lot of alcoholics say I'm a recovering alcoholic. I don't think about the recovered stuff. It's fine. I have no opinion. But let's say where the truth is. Recovering. This is, it really ends crazy. But it's okay in the beginning. But watch how it ends. Recovering. Definition. Webster's 11th edition. Collegiate edition. Being in the process of overcoming a disorder and shortcomings, having tendencies to still live in one's head. Who wants to do that? I don't want to I don't want to be recovering alcoholic. I don't want to live in my head. I don't want that committee. You're fired. All your committees, get out of here. I want one. I want one voice. I want one God. I want one sponsor. I want one program. I want to have one message. You know? Yeah, I don't know, man. You shouldn't make that mean it's 8:45 in the morning. We're doing a 10 o'clock workshop. I was coming to this meeting, and the committee was saying, turn around. I was going to that meeting. I made the meeting. I didn't listen to them. I told them they were out of order. Me and God were going to the meeting. You know? So remember, recovered is to bring back a normal condition, to restore to usefulness. If you're a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and you're not drinking and you're not doing drugs and you're being useful in some way, you have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Do not be afraid to call yourself a recovered alcoholic. If you're recovering, it's okay too. Fine, that's your opinion. Being in the process of overcoming a disorder and shortcomings, okay. Chloe, we'll give you that one, that you're recovering right now. You're in the process with your 17 days of overcoming a disorder and shortcomings. You have a tendency to still live in your head. We'll give you that. But you're going to be a recovered alcoholic real soon. Look forward to it. It's the next step. It is the next step. You can do it. We don't have to live in our head. That's normal. We're going to think like that. But we don't have to live there. All right? Make sense? Page XVI. Okay, XVI. It talks about, you know, XVI. That he suddenly realized that carrying the message to another alcoholic, there it is, bottom of the page, next to the last paragraph. He suddenly realized in order to save himself, he must, right? Did I say must? There's no must in the big book.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of 44.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
How many?
144.
144. Thank you. Sunday morning speaker. I love that little twang you got there, girlfriend. So he says, he suddenly realized that in order to save himself, he must carry this message to another alcoholic. That was Bill Wilson, and he carried that message to the Akron physician. We got to carry this message. You know, my job, when I go to a meeting today, my job isn't to go there and just extract, and oh, listen to me. Listen to what I got to share. I'm going to help everybody. Now, my job is sometimes to go there and to look around. You know, who does God want me to help today? How about that? Boy, if we can get to that part. You know, we get here in the first prayer. Dear God, please help me. Remember that, Chloe? Right? Help! Somebody, right? Help! Second prayer. Dear God, please grant me. Now grant me a car. Please, a driver's license. I don't ask for much. A job. And then finally, third prayer, please get there. Dear God, please use me. I was with that one fellow this morning. Yeah, you. And you mentioned, I don't know your name. What's your name?
Kim.
Hey, Kim, how you doing, brother? And Kim said, I got 2 years and I'm big, called me up doing this and that. I ain't sponsored it yet, but I want. And I said to him, brother, you're going to be sponsoring so many people one day. You're going to be like, oh, I got too many sponsors. Too many sponsors. Keep up the good work, Kim. Seriously, brother. Because then people just come up to us and they say that one, I wrote a play called Will You Be My Sponsor? And at some point, someone will walk up to you and say, will you be my sponsor? And it's the biggest day, and it could be the biggest day in your life. And there's only one answer. I'm going to call to practice. The answer is yes. One, three. One, two, three. Yes!
Yes!
Let's try it again. Will you be my sponsor?
Yes!
I do that with big conventions. That's your only answer. It doesn't matter if you don't know nothing. They don't know you don't know nothing. Get with your sponsor and say, yo, man. What's your name, brother? Atlanta Braves?
Weldon.
Will?
Weldon.
Weldon. How you doing, Weldon? It sounds like a quarterback for a football team. Hey, Weldon. Weldon started the quarterback this afternoon. So, Weldon, you know, Weldon, if somebody asks you to be their sponsor, and you haven't sponsored anybody yet, and you're only up to the seventh step, you call your sponsor and says, hey, what do I do? Just take them through the first step. See if they got a big book. See if they pray. And you call them back. Hey, you got a big book? Good. You prayed? Yeah, good. Call your sponsor back. What do I do now? The big thing is that you say yes. Say yes. If somebody heard you share to me or saw you pull up in your Cadillac and saw your watch and saw you share and they're looking at you thinking that you got something for them, just say, yeah, please don't say you have too many sponsees. Reality of it is well, I don't know what the average is. 1 in 10 use us? Maybe 2? I'm just saying. I hate to say that out loud. Is that my out loud voice? So, you know, sometimes I find out I got a sponsor because somebody's in the room. Hey, I'm Joe, I'm over here. My sponsor, Rob, says, oh, I forgot I was sponsoring. Use your sponsor, too. Not a bad idea, right? Interesting. Okay. So let's go to the forward to the third edition. We're going to go to XXII. We're getting there again. XXII. I think we're just going to do the first 3 steps this morning is what I'm starting to feel. Okay, and it's fine. We're going to do them through the big book. So XXII. So it says recovery begins. See down the bottom. I got mine in pink. See down the bottom, last paragraph. It says, let's read it together, last paragraph. Yeah. Oh, I'm pink too. Being the Sunday morning speaker, got the whole thing in pink. All right, so let's read that last paragraph together. You ready? A round up, and here we go. In spite of the great increase in the size and the span of this fellowship, at its core, it remains simple and personal. Each day, somewhere in the world, recovery begins when one alcoholic talks with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. And that's it. That's AA at its core. You know, how you doing? I just came from a meeting. Great. You know, this is funny. So I mentioned that today we want to become spiritual warriors. So let's break down that word spiritual. So the definition of spiritual is, real simple, connected in spirit. Simple, right? So you ever go to a meeting? I go to a meeting with 3 of my boys. I don't know. We go up to Ocean City, New Jersey. We do a road trip up the coast. We go to a meeting. 4 of us are leaving and, you know, me, Joey, Vinny, and Donnie. I'm like, hey, man, what a great meeting. Me, Joey, Vinny, and Donnie are like, yeah, it was amazing, man. And all of a sudden, Petey says, that meeting sucked. Now, Petey was at the same meeting we were at. I thought it was a really, the woman just did a great job and does it. And it was just a great meeting. So why did me, Joey, Donnie, and Bobby say it was a great meeting? And Bobby says, it sucked. I'm going to tell you why. Because us four guys, we connected in spirit there. We listened to that speaker, and our heart went out to that speaker. I cried last night with Jim. Anybody else crying when Jim shared last night? I was crying. I was right there, and I was like, oh, nobody's looking. You know, I don't know Toby. I'm right next to him. I'm trying to, don't snort, dude. You know what I mean, right? And long and short of it is, I connected in spirit with our Friday night speaker. And us 3 guys, when we let them, and that dude, the one guy, he didn't connect in spirit. It's okay. You're not always going to be able to connect. Go to another meeting, right? Don't quit before the miracle happens. Hey, listen, you didn't stop if you were drinking or drugging at one bar or with one guy or with one girl. You didn't say, well, that was a bad time. I'm going to quit forever. dummies? Why are you quitting? Why are you quitting when you just go to one man meeting or hear one man talk? Cut it out! Cut it out! You didn't do it when you were drinking and drugging. Don't do it here, man. You know, go to another meeting, right? Imagine that. Imagine how blessed we'd all be if we got upset one time and on our early drinking or drugging and said, I'm not going to do this again. My feelings are hurt. That's actually hilarious, isn't it? So don't do it here. Get a sponsor and tell your sponsor. I remember, so great story. I remember I had 2 years of sobriety. All right, you had 2 years, right? I had 2 years of sobriety. I was running the Wednesday night 8:30 meeting. I got there at 7 to put the coffee on at our big clubhouse, right? Set the chairs up, you know, back then, put the ashtrays out, right? All that kind of stuff, right? And I got the literature in my hand. I'm coming in, and there's these two Don Juans. I didn't like them. They were always dating all the girls. I didn't have a date for 2 years. I mean, it was crazy. So, but I'm doing all this. I'm working on my foundation. And they're Don Juan and Don somebody else. And Don Juan looks at me, and here's what he says when I walk in the clubhouse with all the AA literature, the coffee, the cream. He says, oh, here comes little Bill W. I was pissed. I was so up. That meat, all I could think about was, like, how can I put it? Should I put it in the neck? Should I put it? I wanted to say, I don't know what step I was working, but I wanted to stab that dude in the neck all night. With all meat. That's all I could think about, right? Resentment, anger, fear. Right? And I called my sponsor. Like, back then we had the rotary phones, and I called my sponsor. I said, John? I said, yes. I said, Donnie said I was little Bill W. when I walked in the clubhouse tonight. And when he got done laughing, he said, Robbie, I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. You know, sponsors, like, they set it up like I'm getting ready to tell you something big, like they just know it. And he was right. To this moment, I haven't forgotten. Robbie, I'm getting ready to tell you something very important. I never want you to forget this. He said, well, number one, you're doing a great job. Don't stop. Number two, if anybody in the future gives you a nickname that has to do with this fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, you say thank you. And that's what I've done ever since then. But thank God I have a sponsor. Thank God I didn't leave that group. The old joke is, you know, how come the new meeting started with a resentment in a coffee pot? You know, because then I'm sticking and staying. You've got to work through things. Those that are in relationships, no, you just can't leave a relationship the first time you get upset. You got to work through it. You know, talk to your sponsor. Talk to a counselor. How do we get past this? You know, what can I do to make this right, as Jim said last night? How do you make an amend for your actions, right? Okay, so let's go to now. The fourth edition. We're almost on the father's opinion. Fourth to the fourth edition. And we're going to go to page XXID. So XXID. Is everybody there? It's the last page of the fourth to the fourth edition. XXID. And it's down the bottom. And it's about Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's something that Bill really loved. He said, in any meeting, anywhere, AA share experience, strength, and hope with each other in order to stay sober and help other alcoholics. Modem to modem, or face to face, AA speak what?
The language
of the heart. Not the language of the gutter. Please, stop it. You know, we change when we come to Alcoholics Anonymous. We're not impressed with your vulgarity up here, or at our meetings. It's time to change. Not just your underwear, alright? How about your verbiage? How about how you treat others? How about how you walk? Genesis used to have a great song. Let me show you, Phil Collins would sing, let me show you how I walk. You know, if you're doing the talking, you better do the walking. You know, walk nice, walk kind. Be generous, be loving. Give compliments often. Love others, you know? We got enough critics and, you know, hey, who likes being criticized? Raise your hand. Yeah, for the CD, no one's got their hand up. Then stop it. Who likes to hear complainers? Anybody got a hand up on that one? No, stop it. There's an old Bob Newhart comedy skit where this woman comes to him and says, and he was the psychiatrist, and she says all this stuff. He says, you know, I just want to pretty much eat lead, and I just don't feel good about it. He says, okay, I want to give you two words. And she's all ready to listen. And he says, stop it! She says, what? He said, stop it! You're going to die! She said, well, it can't be that simple. I just think that's funny. So, stop it! But seriously, just stop it. If you're not being a real member of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you're not sitting up front, if you're not reaching out your hand, if you're not raising your hand when they say, we need somebody to make coffee next month, join us. Join us on the board. We need you. We love you. Don, what you do with this weekend's amazing. Thank you. We need more Dons. We need more Terrys. We need more Amandas. You know, we need more Hells. We need more Katies. We need people that are willing to say, I'll sit at the registration desk all weekend. And that's the kind of stuff that I did ever since I've been new. And now, you know, God asked me to do different things today. And it's great. I get to stand up here. But that also means getting away from my my business. And getting away from my daughter's so stoked that I'm here for the weekend. I told her on Wednesday, I said, baby, I said, Allie, I'm going to go to Georgia for the weekend. She's like, yes! I mean, oh, okay, Dad. I know there's going to be a boy over there this weekend. I'm going to look for signs too when I get back. But we'll see. The doctor's opinion. Let's go to the doctor's opinion. Who loves a doctor's opinion? Now, I love this is Dr. Silkworth. We're 11, we did an hour, man. We did an hour of just like the prefaces and songs and stories. It's crazy. So let's do the doctor's opinion because now it gets good. So the doctor's opinion, page XXV. So it says here, the plan of recovery. So there's a plan of recovery. It says, we of Alcoholics Anonymous believe the reader will be interested in a medical aspect of what? The plan of recovery at the top of the page, okay? So the plan of recovery described in the book. So we got a plan of recovery here in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's kind of like if you join a football team or if you're a cheerleader and you join a team, you get a book. You know, if you're a cheerleader, you got to know what all the cheers are. Touchdown, 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 boys. You make the touchdown. We'll make the noise, right? I play football, whatever. And so you got to know your cheers and when you put your pom-pom up and when you step back and when you turn to the crowd and when you turn, what you're doing at halftime. And if you're a football player, you got to know where you're going to go. If you're a running back or if you're a tight end doing a button hook, you got a playbook, right? You got a playbook and you better know your butt. I know you got talent. These football players got talent, but they still got a playbook. These cheerleaders got talent, but they still got to know their moves and when they're going to jump up on each other and do the split as they come down. Woo! Right? So they have a plan. They have a playbook. Well, we got a plan of recovery here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's embodied in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's embodied in the big book. And it's embodied in sponsorship. Right? And friendship and fellowship. And service work. Who here is an AA service worker? Who has a title right now? Who has a title? Look at all the hands. Most of us got our hands up. And that's fun. The rest of you, I guess, are on Al-Anon. Okay, good. And the reality of it is, you know, please get a title. I don't care if it's the Oreo cookie putter outer. Do it. Get the double stuffs. You know what I mean? Do something. Stay active. My group, I'm notorious for, I've been at business meetings and creating new jobs. You know, greeters. We always have greeters. I have a new guy, and he makes the tags. Now my group now has tags for the greeters. And I don't think we need them, but he did. To stay sober. You know, create new jobs for people. Do something. Do something. It's a song by the Eagles. Do something. You know, just do something, you know, or you'll fall for anything, right? Page XXVI. Turn the page over, guys. And it's at the top, it talks about this word called remedy. It says, these men may well have received a remedy for thousands of such situations. Remedy is a treatment that relieves or cures a disease, right? So isn't that what we have here? We got a remedy. It treats our alcoholism. And it cures it. These 12 steps. I don't know how it does it, but it does it. So we got a remedy. Let's go down further. Now we got the big paragraph. And it talks about, in this statement, see that first paragraph by Mr. Silky? It says, in this statement, he confirms what we who have suffered what? Alcoholic torture must believe that the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. It did not satisfy us to be told that we could not control our drinking just because we were maladjusted to life, that we were what? in full flight from reality. And lastly, now here's where Bill gets a little nasty. We were outright mental defectives. I thought that was a little much. Outright mental defectives. Bill has a little strong language here. But we weren't. My favorite, some of you guys know my story. So I just so happened, I don't know if I'm going to tell that, I'll tell it now. So I just so happened to get locked up once. I was at a big mall, and I went into a Hickory Farms, and I got that round thing of salami and cheese, and I put it down my groin area. Okay, that round salami and cheese. And I thought it was inconspicuous. And I'm walking out, and this little blonde flew through the air and tackled me, right? Held me down till the mall police got there, whatever. And I got locked up in this place called Chester County Farms Prison. Okay? So I was in Chester County Farms Prison for about a month. I was flooding my toilet, lighting the mattress on fire, and finally, they had a cell extraction. Yeah, I know, that's your speaker, sorry. And they took me out of that cell, fighting and screaming, kicking, tore my clothes off, threw me in the hole, and in the hole, I decided to take my left arm, have some prison tats, bear with me, but I took my left arm and I cut it up and down with a spork until I passed out. That was my suicide attempt. And I came to in the infirmary of this hospital with a judge arraigning me on a TV. They wheeled a TV into me. It's pretty cool, right? They wheeled a TV into me, and the judge remanded me from Chester County Farms Prison, Damon, to a place called Haverford State Hospital in Haverford, Pennsylvania. I went on a gurney in restraints, my chest, my torso, and my ankles. In restraints, bro. You know? And I'll tell you how sick I was. When I finally got to the mental hospital, I looked around, I saw ping pong tables, and to myself, I'm thinking, yeah. But the story goes on, and this is why I bring it up. In that mental hospital, my big deal, I love bananas. Always love bananas. And I used to, I don't know where I got, this is before the internet, so I didn't Google it. I don't know how I got this, but I used to let my banana peels harden. If you had them for about 2 weeks, they would harden. And then I would crush them up and smoke them. So let me tell you something. I belong here. If you smoke crushed up, hardened banana peels, sit down and shut up. You've earned your seat. But that's my story. I'm a complete, I can't argue a complete mental defective. I smoke banana peels, by golly. If you've done that, you belong here. And I know. And think about it. After the meeting, like before I speak tonight, come up to me before a hell of a 3 o'clock talk. I want to know something you've done that makes you a complete mental defective, okay? That's your homework. Because I know you've got something. Yeah. Okay, three things. Okay. Okay. Carrying a message. We're at the next number. It's called Run, Shay, Run. What number are we on the program? What number is this for you guys? So we're at Run, Shay, Run, number 6. Roman numeral number 6. So I love this story. And this story is about faith, right? So there's a story about this little kid named Shay, right? And Shay was a little bit different than the rest of the little kids. He was about 12 years old. But unlike the rest of the little kids, Shay had a big rod that extended from his leg, and it really made him walk really funny, right? And one of his hands and arms wasn't completely formed properly. Other than that, Shay was like the rest of the kids. His mind, his thinking, his everything else was the same except for that his leg and his arm. And one day, Dad and Shay are going towards the playground, and Shay says, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, there's Bobby and Joey and Manny and Tommy. They're playing baseball. I think they'll let me in. Can we go down to the ball field?" And Dad knew how 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 11-year-olds could be and said, "Shay, why don't we just go to the jungle gym and the slime? Like, let's go over there." No, Daddy. They know me. That's Bobby and Joey and Tommy and Manny. Don't let me in. Come on, Dad. Come on." And reluctantly, the story goes, the father took Shay down to the ball field where all these kids are playing, and they got about 20 kids down there. And they're already starting it. Dad didn't know what to do, so he went up to the guy in charge. He went up to this guy like Don. And he says, "Hey, Don, you know my boy Shay." "Oh, yeah, I know Shay. How you doing?" And he's got a bat in his hand, getting ready to bat. And he says, Shay just want to know if he can play with you guys today. Now, I have an understanding. He's not sure, Mr. Walker. No problem. Shay, come on, sit on the bench. We'll get you in. Dad was like, okay. All of a sudden, it's the ninth inning, top of the ninth inning, and it's time for Shay's team to go out. And this guy, Don, says, hey, go out for me in right field, Shay. You know, go out for me in right field. Shay put a glove on his not formed properly hand, and he kind of scurried out to right field, and to the grace of God, nothing was hit to him that inning, but he was just so excited to stand out there, and the boys let him play. Now Shay's team got up the bat. It's a tie score, bottom of the ninth inning. Man on first, man on second, man on third, tie game, bottom of the ninth, one out, two out. Who do you think's up? Shay's up. What do we do? And the leader, Don, said, Shay, put a bat in your hand and go out up there. For some reason, this 13-year-old just realized that that game wasn't that important, the outcome. And Shay got up there and held the bat for the first time. And he didn't even know how to hold the bat, Damon. And he was holding the bat. And the pitcher looked at Shay and realized that he was a little different from the rest of the boys. And you know what he did? He had a little compassion. And he came in about 10 feet and lobbed the hard ball to him. This is called fastball. He lobbed the hard ball to him. Shay swung and connected. It went backwards. Strike one. Two outs. Tied. Bomb a knife in. Second, and pitcher realized the pitcher came a little bit closer and lobbed the ball to him. This time, Shay swung but missed. Strike two. Two outs. Bomb a knife in. Dad wasn't sure how Shay's going to handle this. Pitcher wasn't going to let it happen. Sponsors, hear me out. We can save lives here. You need to be like this pitcher. Pitcher took the ball to him and put it on his bat. Just put it on his bat and said, lightning, swing. And Shay moved the bat. Shay moved the bat forward and the ball went into play. And everybody yelled, run to first, Shay! Run to first! And Shay slowly scampered to first base, man. He's getting there, right? And the man on third comes on, Melton comes on. For all intents and purposes, they win the game if he gets to first. Run to first! Run to first! So he gets to first! But right before he gets to first, the pitcher gets the ball, and he's getting ready to throw the first base. The first base is there, and he didn't get it. And he threw it over his head. And they all said, Shay, run to second, Shay! Shay got between first and second, and just like us sometimes, we can't go any further. And all of a sudden, the second baseman and the first baseman carried him to third and finally carried him to home. And when Shay put his feet on home plate and won the game for the team, his father said later on at an auxiliary meeting that it was like the biggest moment in Shay's life. He said Shay didn't live past that summer, but he'll never forget how those kids treated Shay. So how are we treating the alcoholics to come to our rooms? Are we so worried about the adult men? Huh? You hypocrites? And I speak from another, not from me. You know, there was that guy that walked 2,000 years ago. And he said, you're worried about the letter of the law. And he says, we need to think about the spirit of the law. Then it does a new alcoholic all of a sudden blurt out some drugs. And you from across the room shut up. We don't talk about drugs here! or do maybe at the end of the day you could go up to him and say, hey, listen, we appreciate you talking about your heroin and all that, but we try, it's just, you did say you're a problem with alcohol. Oh yeah, man, I drink a lot, dude. Okay, good. We try to talk about alcohol more. Just leave that heroin out if you can. And you do it in a nice, kind, compassionate way, huh? You ever think about that? Or do you want to look like the big shot? Or do you want to not have that love and tolerance that we're getting ready to talk about on page 19? Speaking of which, let's go to... we got a song! Look at this! Out of nowhere! Comes number 6, Amazing Grace. Now, I want you to listen to this song. Now, stay with me here. This is a crazy song. This song takes... let me look. 4 minutes. Okay, I got to set this up. This song takes 4 minutes. I want you to listen to this. It's a play on one of our favorite songs of Amazing Grace. It's got, anybody know Chris Tomlin? Everybody hear of a guy named Chris Tomlin? Good. Georgia, I love it. So, I want you to listen to this. It's 4 minutes. I think it's very germane to what we're doing here because it talks about our chains.
Amazing Grace, how sweet wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear? The hour I first
my chains were born.
My chains are gone.
Alcoholics Anonymous as untreated alcoholics. You know, we got a lot of chains. The chains of what do you think? What these people still think about me? The chains is chains of I'm a convicted felon. The chains of I'm never going to be like that gal that's my age and has all this and married and three kids. And I'm never going to be like that guy that has the Rolex and has the big house and the business. Who are you to say you're not to be? Marianne Williamson says, you are made to be brilliant. You are made to shine. You know, you are made to be the best person in the world. You know, you are made, you know, it's us that fights that. We're the ones that fight that. That's where we plead with you. You know, from the very start, we beg you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Fearless warriors from the very start.
Well, I'll start next year. I'm on the first step this year.
My Lord. Bill's story. We're up to page one of the big book. We're doing good. Bill's story. We're going to do three steps, though. Now we're going to do three steps. This is crazy. So we're at Bill's story. So page nine. We're going to go right to page nine in Bill's story. Because what happens, Evie visits him. Then Evie visits Bill Wilson, and Evie was a drunk just like Bill, and they drank together. And Evie visits, Bill says, come on in, right? You know what Bill Wilson was doing? Bill Wilson was drinking gin and pineapple juice, his favorite drink and Evie's favorite drink, because Evie had already called and said, Bill, I want to come over and talk to you about something. Well, Bill knew that when Evie comes over, we're going to have some drinks. He knew Evie from the past. And so he's got the gin and the pineapple juice ready, and Evie says to the famous, Bill, I got religion. So he got this Oxford groups, man, and he stopped drinking. It was crazy. And he starts giving them the pitch and how he's doing. And Bill at first thought, wow, he's a little cracked. A little crackpot. Oh, boy, he went off. You know, because he. And then you know what his second thought was? Good. More for me. typical alcoholic, right? Like, no problem, like you're sober. He's, I'm going to use all this for me now, right? Does that make sense? I want you to go to page 11 of your big books. And and as far as I'm concerned, this is one of the biggest sentences in here. It's on page 11. It's the next to last sentence. I think this is the biggest sentence in the entire big book, because I'm going to read this paragraph to you, and then I'm going to tell you what it says. It says, Bill Wilson, that floored me. It began to look as though religious people were right after all. Here was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible. My ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. Never mind the musty past. Here's that a miracle directly across the kitchen table. It was Evie. And then he said, he shouted great tidings. Four words. That right there is what got the fire alcohol time started. It wasn't Evie going there and sitting on a chair, right? Wasn't Evie going, hey Bill, I stopped drinking. Kind of sucks, man. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Kind of like drinking before and messing around with my wife, but not me. But I don't drink no more, so I tell you. It wasn't that. That's not what he said. Evie shouted the great tidings. He said, Bill, I'm not drinking. I feel great. I'm back in the big bed. Like we talked about last night. Like the wife. Now I'm doing great, man. I'm making money. I'm paying my bills. I got a new car out there. He shouted the great tidings. Alcoholics of Georgia, are we shouting the great tidings of Alcoholics Anonymous? Are you telling others? Are you telling others what's going on here? Or are you not feeling it yet? Are you not tapped in? Page 567 of our big book, In Spiritual Experience, says something really amazing. 567. It's at the bottom of the page, 567, and it turns to 568. Listen to this. I'll read it if you don't have your book. Bible 567. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they personally identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. With few exceptions, okay, our members have found that they tapped in that source when they got here. I don't know about you people, but when I came here, when I got into prison, I wasn't looking for a high... I forgot your name. What's your name?
Richie,
I wasn't looking for a higher power. I was looking for Mary, Jenny, and Tammy Sue. I'm just saying, I got out of jail. I wasn't looking for a higher power. You know, I think in Alcoholics Anonymous, who goes to Starbucks? Raise your hand.
Ooh.
Honest program. Yeah, boy. Yeah, that's my favorite. So, if you go to Starbucks, there's a sign in there, right? And it says, well, it says free what? It says free... Wi-Fi, very good. It says free Wi-Fi. It's kind of cool. Like you go in there, you start in Seattle. Great idea, free Wi-Fi. You go in, you get your big contraption, and you plug in, and you can, I don't know, Facebook. You can do college courses. You do, you know, Instagram, whatever floats your boat, right? Free Wi-Fi. That great. And $7 coffees, right? I think in Alcoholics Anonymous, ladies and gentlemen, we should have signs that come down from our roofs. Of all our meetings and all our conventions, and it should say, free God-fi. All you gotta do is tap in. That's all. Free God-fi. It's here. Are you tapped in? Are you plugged in? Are you? Are you? I am, man. Ooh, am I? I love it, man. I love it. Like, I don't know what's gonna happen next, man. I'm a three-time convicted felon. I'm not in the penitentiary. I do a job that I shouldn't be doing. My first, you know how I got my license? I was sponsoring a kid, and his dad was the chief of police in North Wildwood, New Jersey, and I was sponsoring him, and he couldn't read. So I used to read the 12 and 12. I used to put the 12 and 12 on cassettes. And I used to do it. I like reading. I'm a reader. Like an English teacher type kid. And I started reading for Johnny Jenner. He's in the penitentiary now. It's another story. But at the time, I was reading the 12 and 12, and I'd put it in the cassette, and I'd bring it over to him, and we would listen to it. And I didn't know who his dad was. His dad was just Big Ralph. Well, Big Ralph happened to be the chief of police of North Wildwood, New Jersey. And
I was still a little afraid of police, kind of, sort of. And then, but I wasn't afraid of John. I wasn't afraid of bringing God into John's life. And I used to read the cassettes to Johnny, and I on the CD, and he, we would listen to them together, and he would take them, and he would tell me when he kind of stopped, I'm doing better. Now I understand what the first step means, dude. And like, I gotta reach for the life preserver, like only a dying could. He's listening to my to the cassettes. It was back then, little cassette player recorder. Remember? One day I go over there and I'm I think it was the fourth step I finished on the 12-12, and I brought it to Johnny, and his dad said, he said, boy, you've been riding the bike over here for the last year. I said, yes, sir. And he said, why is that, boy? And I said, well, I had a Grand Theft Auto, and I didn't know I could get a license. And it isn't like a DUI. So like when I get pulled over in a car, like when I stole it and went to another state, like they didn't really do a drunk test. Like, because I think like Grand Theft Auto trumps DUI. So I think it was good. And I went wrong. I went to prison. But I really didn't have a problem getting my license. Mr. Jenner, the chief of police of North Wildwood, New Jersey, said to me, what are you doing tomorrow? I said, I'm working at 7-Eleven. I was a 7-Eleven clerk. I had a smock. And he says, come over to station. Don't tell me how big your problems are, Georgia. Tell me how big your God is.
Yeah.
Wow. And I went over to the North Wild Police Station, and I said, is Mr. Jenner here? He said, the chief? I said, oh, I didn't know it was the chief. Maybe. And he said, come on in. And I went back to the part where I'm not supposed to go. I usually went in the other door, back to the cellar. And I went behind the bubble, and there's Mr. Jenner in a big white shirt. You know, everybody else had the blues on. And he said, come on, me boy. And we got in this big cruiser. I sat up front, shotgun. That's big. And we went to the motor vehicle. He's saying hi to all the guys. And he got me to get a picture taken. And I think you're supposed to take a test. Don't tell me how big your problems are. I walked out in half an hour with a license with my picture on it. My own mom and dad weren't in my life at the time because I did a lot of bad things, and maybe we'll get in a little bit more of that tonight. And he helped me get my first car. The chief of police in North Wildwood, New Jersey. See, when God's got work to be done, this is from Tom Ivester from Southern Pine, North Carolina. When God's got work to be done, the walls will come down. Believe that. That's one of my spiritual leaders. He taught me that 32 years ago. And things will continue to happen if you stay sober and you stay out of that crap and you stay in the middle of AA. Let's go to There's a Solution. Let's go to There's a Solution, page 17. And on page 17, I know what it says. It's on the right-hand side. It says we're like the passengers on a great ship liner. The moment after escape from shipwreck, where joyousness, camaraderie, and democracy pervade the vessel from the steerage to the captain's table. Everybody's all stoked, right? We've lived through this shipwreck, and we're beaten and battered by the storms of alcoholism. And we end up on this island called Alcoholics Anonymous. And isn't that great, right? Not according to Bill Wilson. The next paragraph says this. The fact that we've been shipwrecked and marooned here in this amazing fellowship called Alcoholics Anonymous is only one of the powerful elements of cement that holds us together as we're here today. Our stories. I'm going to tell my story tonight. Amanda's going to tell her story in the morning. Our Al-Anon speaker's going to tell her story at 3. That's only one of the elements that gets us here. The tremendous fact is, Bill goes on to say, is that we found the common solution, one in which we're going to agree, and help me out with this last word, begins with A, and join in brotherly and harmonious action. That's right. So that's what we're here for. You know, we're here to find this solution. Yeah, we got stories. Yeah, you're going to hear a little bit of my drunk a lot tonight. Nothing I can do about that. I've got to tell you about some of that stuff. It's kind of funny. You know how we're kind of funny about that stuff. And it's funny. It's entertaining. But the reality of it is, I'm also going to tell you some of the solution. Like I'm doing here. And the solution is, man, that we've got to join together. You know, alone we die. Together we recover. Simple, simple, simple. Page 23, it talks about the first drink. Next page, go over to 23. So top of page 23, it says, these observations would be academic and pointless if our friend never took that first drink, thereby setting the terrible cycle in motion. First drink will do it. Not the second, not the third, whatever we can do, we can't pick up that first fatal drink. We all know that, we get it, that it's simple, that's 2 + 2 = 4, but we can't forget it. Because it says alcohol is a subtle foe. Right? And you know, all we have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Are you maintaining your spiritual condition? I got down to breakfast this morning, and Don's wife, Becky, and Don, and Terry said, hey, come sit with us! And I said, I can't, didn't I? And I had a Bible study to do with my group, just because I'm away on vacation or away at it, and I had to go and sit with myself for half hour, read Ephesians 6, do a little synopsis on it, throw it out there to the gang. I got a picture, I think, who got a picture of me? Terry got a picture of me, send it to him. And that's what I do. I work on my, you know, I work on my the spiritual maintenance of my. You'll see me all weekend mostly in suits and hanging out, spitting from the stage, throwing in the front row. I get excited. Let me tell you. You know? But usually I break podium, so I'm being good, Dane, and I love this, man. I don't think you better give me this tonight. I want to walk. I don't know if an AA speaker's ever walked through the crowd, and I'm prone to do that, so let's not do that. All right. So let's go to page 19. Let's go back to 19 because I missed something big. Top of the page, page 19. This is big if you're a newcomer. Chloe, write this down. Page 19, top of the page. Big, 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 big. None of us makes a soul vacation to this work, nor do we think its effectiveness would be increased if we did. We feel that the elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. You stop drinking, good, it's a good start. That's all it is. Then he goes on and says, what? Let's read it together. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. I got told by my good friend's name, Tim Towsley from Ohio, and what he has said to me is, it's so much more important of what we do between the Our Father and the next Serenity Prayer. Much more important than what we do between the Serenity Prayer and the Our Father here in AA when everyone's looking. Oh, look at me. AA member, look at my hair. Yeah. I didn't even mean that. This is my share. Whoa, look at me. You know, from the Serenity Prayer. I forgot your name, dude. Orange shirt. What is it, Darren? Dale, how you doing? Dale, I'll remember that. Dale Earnhardt Jr. Hi, Dale. So, Dale, it's not as important what we do between the Serenity Prayer and the Our Father. As it is, so it says here, page 19, a much better demonstration of our principles lies when our respective homes, how am I treating my little Allison Ann Walker? Am I there for her when she says she needs something? You know, am I taking her back to college? Now I had to put off my fantasy football draft. It's on my deck because I got to take my baby back to college. I call all the guys. I'm doing it. It's the way it is. My occupation. I do a walk every day through the dealership, and I go back to the service guys, and I go back to the body shop, and I go back to parts, and they know I'm coming. And I'm just, good morning, Pedro, what's up, dude? And you know, I'd have to come out to my office, like the service guys come out of the office, and I got them all talking to the new guys. I'm like, what? They say, yeah, what's the boss on, man? And they say, we always tell them, A&A. And they're going to figure that out. But I've been released. Listen, guys, I've been released from care, worry, and boredom. I can be happy, joyous, and free. And it's not just because the bills are paid or bank account looks free, because sometimes that's not the case. Page 100 says, regardless of our present circumstances, we can live in a new and happy freedom as long as we follow the dictates of a power greater than ourselves. Page 100. Big page. Left-hand side. Let's get to step one. Let's go to page, I want to say it's page 30. Hold on, I'm getting there. So we're going to go to page 30. Let's go to page 30. We're going to do the first step. You ready? Page 30. And more about alcoholism. Page 30. Is everybody there?
Yeah.
So here's the first step. It says here in this paragraph, the second paragraph down, it says, we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. So let's do the first step together. I want you to repeat after me. I concede to my innermost self that I'm an alcoholic. Congratulations. Did you say it, Chloe? You just did the first step. That's the first step. That's it. That's the first step. When we conceived our innermost self, not to you, not to him, not to our Father, not when we conceived to ourselves, because we're the ones looking back in the mirror when you're putting your makeup on, or when we're shaving in the morning. Do you conceive your innermost self? You're an alcoholic. Great, you got this. Now, everybody, Dad, we're not in the right place, but I'd love to do it. Page 30, the end of that paragraph. Here's what I got. Young people, raise your hand. Who's young in here? Chloe, raise your hand. Anybody's excited? Go over to the wall. Trust me, go over to the wall. Just trust me. Go over to the wall. Come up here to the wall. Okay, I need about 10 of you. Come on, I need 10 people at the wall. Come on, Don. You can do it, Mr. Chairman. 10 people. Yeah, that wall. Go to that wall. Or come up here. I'm up here. Bang that. Okay, yeah, you come on up here. I want you guys to bang. All right, now here's what we're going to do. I want you to smash something, because it says on page 30, it says the delusion that we're like other people presently can be, has to be what?
Smash.
So we're going to do that. When I say smash, easy. Okay, now don't break down, don't put no holes in the wall, because I don't want to pay for it. But let's have some fun, and we're going to do it here again. The delusion that we're like other people, or presently maybe, has to be smash. Thank you. Good job. Good job, Reeve. Thank you. Good job. That's it. Okay, my supporting actors and actresses, thank you for your work. But I love that sentence, guys. It says that it's right there, the delusion that we're like other people are presently maybe like them has to be smashed. When I'm new, I'm sorry. I don't belong in bars, nightclubs, or liquor stores. I just don't belong there. Just when I'm new, I don't belong there. I'm not normal. I'll end up going over to the next night when no one's looking. You know what I mean? So for early on, be careful where you're at. Smash that you're like a normal people. Let's do the second step. Go to page 47. Everybody go to page 47. This is the second step. Now, it says, second full paragraph down, it says we needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I willing to believe, that there's a power greater than myself? So now we're going to do step two as a group. You ready, Chloe? So this is step two. Repeat after me. I now believe, and I'm willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself. Congratulations, you've done step two. It's really that easy. We don't have to make this rocket science. If you now believe, or you're willing to believe, there's a power greater, it's not about you anymore. We got to stop doing. What's your full name? What? Tim what?
Hunter.
Tim Hunter. This is not the Tim Hunter Program of Recovery. Right, Tim? I'm sorry. I you're a good dude. I'm out all night. But it's not, Tim's Program of Recovery. It's not Terry's Program of Recovery. It's not Amanda's Program of Recovery. It's not Lynn's Program of Recovery. It's certainly not Robbie W.'s Program of Recovery. And I know it's not Katie's Program of Recovery. It's called the Program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Turn to page 151. We're going to get ready to close and do step three. But turn to 151 for me. 151. One of my favorite... 152. My favorite passages in the big book. I kind of already mentioned it, but I want to talk about it again. You there, Chloe? Good girl. It says, we have shown how we got from under. Okay? And you say, yeah, I'm willing. But am I being consigned to a life where I shall be stupid, boring, and glum like some righteous people I see? I know I must get along without liquor, but how can I? Have you a sufficient substitute? Let's all read the next paragraph together. Yes, there is a substitute, and it's vastly more than that. It's the fellowship in Alcoholics Anonymous. There you will find release from care, boredom, and worry. Your imagination will be fired. Life will mean something at last. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. Thus, we find the fellowship, and so will you. Turn to page 63. We're going to end with the third step prayer. Page 63, please. This is big. So we did three steps. That's a good thing. The big book bootcamp, we talked about a lot of the basics of that all times. We did some prayers, we did some stories, we did a little bit of music. Now, let's do the third step prayer together. Page 63, okay? And let's just read it together, and it's God, I offer myself to thee. You ready? And here we go. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory would then make their witness to those that I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. So take away my difficulties so that victory over them may bear witness to those that I can help. Not to take away my difficulties so I can get like I heard earlier, the best job and the best car and the biggest title. You know, that's not what we're about here. You know. I read another play, and it's called AA, the Greatest Show on Earth. And I kind of made it like Brendan Brothers, Barnum and Bailey. And I had like different people come out, like I had the Twisted Stepsisters come out. Then I had the 12 Stepsisters. You know, I had the AA service worker come out, and then I have what I want to talk about now, the AA thief. And the AA thief, ladies and gentlemen, is the man or woman who comes here broken, hurt, nowhere to go, and they hate themselves. And years later, they've been redeemed. They've been made new. They become members of society again. They got jobs and boyfriends and girlfriends and husbands and wives and kids and homes and cars and titles, and they're gone! Poof! Almost like magic. And somehow they missed what I grabbed onto. It says, you know, we reach for this program like the drowning in seas of life preserver. And I still do that today with 35 years of recovery. You'll see me here the rest of the weekend, right up until the end of Amanda's talk on Sunday morning, you know, having fun, giving it all I got. And that's my prayer for you, that you get that enthusiasm. I was on stage at the AA International Convention in Toronto, Canada. Big stadium. I'm on stage. And next to me is this guy named Clancy Emmislin from Los Angeles, California. And I had a 20-minute pitch. he had like the hour and 20. I think he had 40 when he took an hour and 20. Good. God bless him. Clancy, I did my 20-minute pitch. People were packed beyond my wildest dreams. And I get done, and I sat down on stage next to Clancy. General Service Trustee comes up from the General Service Board, and he starts to introduce Clancy. Clancy's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. And Clancy's looking at me, and he says, "Rabbit, that was a hell of a good message, boy." He said, "Let me tell you something. You got a lot of enthusiasm, boy." He said, "Don't you lose it." That's what he was telling me. He said, "You keep giving that man." And at this point, the General Service Trustee says, "And now we have Clancy Emmislin from Los Angeles, California, from the Pacific Rim." And I'm like, "You gotta go." And he's an old timer. He said, "Don't worry about them." And he kept talking to me like that. And he kept And so I never forgot that. I kind of knew, and then finally he said, "I gotta go," and he got the but he took time. That was 2005, so that was what, 14 years ago. Never forgot it to this moment. He took time to let me know. Like, everything was there for him. That's no issue. I mean, I have like 22 people from, you know, fugitives from Jersey. That's about all. But he took time to let me know what the word meant. He said, "Robbie, don't ever forget this. The Greek root of enthusiasm is entheos. And theos is God and en is within. Okay? And you've got that God within." He says, "As long as you have that God, ain't nobody gonna hurt you." Because he knew, because he was talking to me, I told him how I was insecure, something was going on. I think I was going through my divorce at the time, you know, and whatever. And he let me know, "Robbie, keep shining. You're an enthusiastic little dude, man. Keep it up." Because at the end, he's 90 now. He was only 70 then, I guess, right? So ladies and gentlemen of Georgia, and wherever you're from, this weekend, if you're listening to this CD, I ask you and I beg of you, you know, you may be the only copy of the big book that somebody may see. Are you ready? Are you willing to be that copy? Are you ready and willing
to give that handshake or that hug?
Are you ready or willing to say, welcome aboard? You're in for the ride of your life. Are you ready to say, hey, we go out for coffee afterwards. Would you like to come? Would you be willing to say, hey, we watched a game on Sunday after this morning meeting. Why don't you come over with us? And don't accept the first no. Well, no, I'm okay. No, really, man. We really need you. You don't need them. But tell them that anyway. We need you. Come with us. And before, that's what happened with me. And today, man, I'm right in the middle. Today I'm a card-carrying, flag-waving, parade-leading member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we're taking interviews. Page 102 of the Big Book says, our job now, bottom of the page, it's the job description of the alcohol, 102, bottom of the page. It says, our job now is to be our job now is to go to the most sordid places on the face of this earth and carry this message. It says, our job now is to keep the right motives. And then it says, God will keep you unharmed if you have the right motives. So are you willing to go to the most sordid place on the face of this earth? Sometimes it's a meeting you haven't gone to. Maybe it's a neighborhood you don't know. And are you willing to go there? What's your name?
Marcy.
And are you willing to raise your hand and say, hi, I'm Marcy, and I'm an alcoholic. You know, even though you don't feel comfortable, even though you have anxiety, because you don't know these people, and then give them what you've got. Give them the God that's in your heart, and let them know you love them, especially if it's a new gal, right? And if you're a guy, especially if you're with a new guy, give them what you got. Tonight you're going to hear my message at 8 o'clock, and I'm going to tell you about a guy named Don Cooper, that when I had 17 days of sobriety, how he saved my life. Now it's my turn to be a superhero. Now it's your turn to be a superhero. Let me see how we're going to close. I'm sure I got something here. Okay, so we're going to end with the Alcohol Farm Boy. We're going to end with this story and then we're closing. Quarter off. So here's how we're going to end. So there's a story about this farmer. He was very wealthy, right? He had a big farm. And he had two sons, right? And the one son was exactly like us. You know, he was the guy or the girl that was always, you know, kind of got up late. You know, it wasn't really, you know, like the older brother. The older brother was perfect. The older brother put the fences together and got the food together and milked the cows and did all the work and got up early, stayed late, you know, got the manure all together and sold it. And the young son was like us. I don't know why I'm looking at you, but he was like us, dear. And one day, what was your name, John?
John.
And one day, John goes to dad and says, hey, Pop, I know you're getting ready to pass. And he says, can I have my half of the inheritance now? And guess what dad said? Sure. You've been a good boy. Sure. Right? And so he gave me a lot of money. And what do you think John did? What did you used to do? Party, bro! And he went, put his hat on backwards, and they had him back then, put his hat on backwards, and woo! Went with the loose women, right, that's what it says in the book, and had a great time, and spent all of that money, and drank, and all of a sudden, one day, and the older son did the right things, Lynn. The older son stayed home and continued to nurse dad's a farm and pay the dairy guy and feed the chickens and collect the eggs. All while the young son took all of daddy's money and used it. And when it was gone, guess what the young alcoholic farm boy did? He was laying in a field and he was eating the slop from the pigs. And he had that moment of clarity that we get. And that moment of clarity, he looked up in the heavens and thought to himself, you know what? I bet you if I went home to Pop and I said, Dad, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I know I spent all your money, but could I come back as a hired hand? He had that moment. You know that moment when we say, well, maybe just let me go to AA. Let me see what they can do, right? And he goes home, and the story goes that as his father saw him from way off, you know, Dad was back there, and his dad saw this young farm boy, alcohol, come towards him, and guess what his dad did? He ran to him. See, grace will find you where you are. Grace will find you. Newcomers, grace is an unmerited gift. All you got to do is show up, and grace will find you. You don't got to go to school. You don't got to go to church. You don't got to go to a mountain. You don't got to go to wherever, Tibet. come here. God's looking for you and He's waiting for you. Right? You feel me? He's here. You just got to tap in. And all of a sudden, from afar, the Father came and He hugged him. And He said, Son, you're home. Welcome home. You were lost, but now you're found. You were blind, but now you see. But He said, Daddy, Daddy, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I'm not. He said, Son, you deserve it. Kill us out of care. My son was gone, but now he's home. First resentment, the older brother. The older brother was pissed! You're having a party for this guy who left with all your money and all our money. I'm just staying home. You ain't going to throw me a party. What's wrong with you? He said, Son, I will always love you and always have loved you. You'll always have everything I've ever had. He was lost, but now he's found. It's the story of the 99 sheep. Dude's got 100 sheep and 99 are good and the one sheep like us. And what does it? I can't do that tonight, so you got to see that today. The shepherd dies. The shepherd leaves the 99 to find the one lost sheep. Ladies and gentlemen of Georgia, we are lost sheep. And our God, if you're lost now, He wants to find you. And He cares about you. And He loves you. Sometimes He speaks loud. Sometimes He speaks loud. So black sheep, welcome home. The good, I don't know if there's any Al-Anons in here, welcome to you too. It's been an honor. It's been an honor doing the Big Book Boot Camp with you this morning. I hope you enjoyed yourselves. I hope you got a few laughs. I hope you got to know me a little bit better. Hopefully throughout the weekend I'll get to know you a little bit better. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to say three words. I love you. We have a nice way to close.